In your Bible, please, the Epistle of Jude. Jude's letter to the Church Universal. Our attention this morning will be at verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. The beloved are addressed three times in this epistle. Verse 3, Jude addresses those to whom he is sending this letter, this epistle. The desire of his heart was that the beloved would participate in celebrating and communion around their common salvation. But the Spirit of God changed all of that from a letter of celebration and communion to a letter of challenge. Beloved, contend for the faith. The faith once handed down, delivered to you once for all. It's the perfect foundation upon which we rest. It is the foundation of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Beloved, contend for the faith. Why? Because certain men have crept in. They distort the grace of God. They deny the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But you, beloved, are to behave as those that belong to the true and the living God. The beloved are to have a conduct in keeping with their calling. Those who are the beloved of God are in the process of being conformed unto the image of Christ. As far as God's concerned, it's a done deal. But we are experiencing the sanctifying work of God, conforming us unto the image of His Son. And thus, there is a behavior that is true of the beloved, Christ's likeness. But as this letter quickly addresses, the beloved need to be aware. Beware that there are those who would do everything to destroy our faith. And so, from verse 3, they are to beware of the ones who have crept in. And their character and their conduct is then opened up from verse in our English Bible, verse 4 through verse 19. And it stands in contrast to the beloved. They're blasphemers. And they are destined for condemnation. They're doomed. They're damned. Contrasted to that, the beloved, possessors of a common salvation, delivered, not doomed. This morning, we come to another aspect of the challenge. Beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Other places in the scripture, building up yourselves in your faith. Our faith rests upon the rock, Christ Jesus. It is vested in Him. There is no hope apart from Him. And so this morning, our attention from verse 20 is on the beloved being built up. Come on over to Acts chapter 20. We've been there not too long ago in our previous studies. And we're reminded that Paul is now coming near the end of his missionary journeys. He's had three. At verse 16 we read, "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church." He is bypassing Ephesus, but he's calling the elders of Ephesus. This is a church. It was established early 53 AD on his third missionary journey. It's a church that later, in his first imprisonment, 60 AD, he will write a letter to, the Epistle of Ephesians. "And when he had come to him," they had come to him, "he said to them, 'You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews.'" He was dedicated. 3 years, the pastor, verse 31 is going to tell us that. "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable," dedicated to the task of declaring the truth, "and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greek of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." And you remember I shared with you, repentance is not an act in and of itself. Repentance does not precede the act of faith. It is in the act of faith. And it is turning unto the Lord. Repentance toward God and faith. It is in the act of our faith that we turn to Him away from our sins, to our sin bearer, away from that which He has freed us from. Repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. "And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the good news, the gospel of the grace of God." Dedicated from the moment he cried out, "Lord, who are you?" He was told by the risen Christ, "I am the one you're persecuting, but now everything is going to change. You are going to be preaching who I am and what I have come to accomplish." And he was faithful to that throughout his entire ministry and life, testifying solemnly to the gospel of the grace of God. "And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel, purpose of God." His ministry was faithful. to the master plan of Messiah. What God was accomplishing in and through the person and work of His Son, the Lord Jesus, the Anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Blood-bought ones. The church. Those who are called out. These are to be guided. Shepherded. These are to be guarded. Protected. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From the outside, there will come those who will desire to destroy your faith. The pastor, the shepherd, is there to guard against that which will come from the outside. But also, and from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. That's the epistle of Jude. Certain men crept in, unawares, condemned, because they distort the grace of God. They deny the person of Christ. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, set apart unto God through faith in Christ. I brought to you the gospel, the good news of the grace of God. I brought to you the message of God's kingdom. I brought to you the whole counsel of God, the master plan of Messiah. And this word of grace, I now commend you to, for that word, the truth of who God is, what God has done, what He's going to do, as He has revealed in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, is that which will build you up. The Scriptures, as I've said on more than one occasion, the Bible is not a book of principles to try to live one's life by. If that were the case, then the Bible would be no different than any other religious book. The Quran, the Book of Mormon, any book, writings of religion. It would fit into that category. But it is not a book of principles to live our life by. It is, in fact, the personal, progressive, perfect revelation of Almighty God. Who He is, what He's done, what He's doing, and what He has yet to do. And our faith rests on Him who has revealed Himself. And our faith now is being built up on that truth that He has revealed concerning Himself. The Bible isn't about us. It's about Him. It is only about us as we relate to Him, either by faith, a child of God, saved from our sins. Or, unbeliever, dead in our sins, destined for damnation. But this word, I commend you to, for it will build you up. Come on over to Romans, book of Romans, chapter 12. Therefore, referring back to all that he's already been saying, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God, which is your intelligent, your reasonable service. Here is a passionate plea on Paul's part for those that have trusted Christ as Savior to surrender themselves fully. The physical body in which you live is the life that you live now, in and through. That vehicle, that body, the life that you have now, surrender to Him. It's the right thing to do. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove, test, dakamejo, put to the test with the idea that it's going to pass the test, to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing, acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, that is our physical body, many parts, many members, but they don't have the same function, so we, who are many, are one in Christ and individual members one of another. Physical body, many members, don't all have the same function. Spiritual body in Christ, many members. Each one unique as to its purpose, as to its function. Uniqueness, but within unity. It's one body. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophesying, according to the portion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Get on with it. You have a responsible, significant function within this body, this spiritual body. Do it. It's the only thing I can identify with as far as Nike is concerned. Just do it. Nike theology. I have equipped you. I have put you in the body to function. Function. Do it. Let love, agape, the love of God, be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in Philadelphia. You don't have to be devoted to one another in Boston, just Philadelphia. Well, Philadelphia, brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in any diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We have an expression, those who have given hours of time probably better spent otherwise, but just the way it is. In the game of golf, the expression, the paralysis of analysis. You get too tied up in the details rather than letting it happen. I've known and even heard messages where you really can't be functioning in the body of Christ until you know what your spiritual gift is. You really can't be functioning within the body of Christ until you discern perfectly God's will. And immediately, we have a paralysis of analysis. People want, what's my gift? Oh, I wonder, is it? What's God's will for my life? God's will for your life is clearly stated in the scriptures. You need not look anywhere but to the Word of God, which reveals His will, that we be a people to the praise of His glory. And that we, who have been saved, for by grace have you been saved, not by works, but by grace, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. You can't gain that relationship by works, but you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus unto those good works. Get on with it. Do what is good in keeping with, hey, a behavior, a conduct in keeping with my calling. I'm part of the beloved. Get on with it. As you move, a body in motion tends to be kept in motion. A body still tends to stay still. Be doing. Be depending on everything you do on the Lord, and He reveals to you. I had the privilege early on in my ministry. It's not unusual to have some of these internal struggles as to how God wants to use you. It was my privilege to, early on in my walk with the Lord, to personally be acquainted with Jack Worson, the Word of Life Ministries. And my struggle was, I knew that the moment I came to saving faith in Christ, that God had called me to serve Him. And I believe that He had called me to preach. That was my personal experience. But I wasn't sure whether it was to be an evangelist or a pastor. Now, I'm sure there was a lot of flesh involved in that decision, because I like the idea of preaching here, preaching there. And it looked to me like you're really not responsible too much for anyone or any place. You know, you just go and people come and they listen to. And I was struggling with this idea, and the Lord had provided opportunities to preach as an evangelist. But also, the Lord had, by His mercy and grace, allowed both Nance and I to sit under godly men who taught the Word of God, so that it was not just having people come to saving faith, but then to be built up in their faith. And so I went to Jack and I asked him, I said, I'm having this struggle. And his answer was very simple. He says, God's Word, Proverbs, makes this statement. A man's gift will make room for him. Man's gift will make room for him. A man's gift will make room for him. Jack said, just do it. And by the grace of God, I've been privileged for 60 years to preach Christ. As an evangelist, in the sense that every time the Word of God is faithfully opened, we are declaring Christ and giving opportunity for anyone who does not know him to come to saving faith, but also to minister on a consistent, regular basis to the body of Christ, to the church, to guide, to guard, to build up. And so, don't be paralyzed. Don't allow yourself to be caught in that non-active function in the body of Christ. Be doing. And Lord will allow you to see how he's using you and where best he is using you, whether it be with the gift of helps, coming alongside and encouraging, exhorting, moving people ahead, getting under there, or in the other gifts as delineated in 1 Corinthians 12 and here in Romans 12. Just do it. Do those things which God the Holy Spirit moves you in accordance with his word to be doing. He'll reveal how best you function and fit in the body. Because he's placed each one of us for a purpose, that the body might be built up to his glory. He goes on. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be on the same mind. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Beloved, behave Christ-like. But leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord, Deuteronomy 32. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Can't be saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. Be doing what God has called you to be doing. Ephesians chapter 2. Already having made reference to verses 8 through 10, look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, that's the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Eirene, remember that word. No hostility, it's all gone. There's harmony, there's wholeness, there's oneness. He is our peace, who hath made both groups into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, harmony, wholeness, oneness, and might reconcile them both in one body, spiritual body, to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enemy. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those of you who were near, Jew and Gentile. For through him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints, the sanctified, and are of the household of God. One body, one household. You're of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. The church is built on the truth of who Jesus of Nazareth is. He is the anointed, the Christ, the Son of God, upon which the church is built. In him, or in whom, the whole building being fixed together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. One body, one household, a temple in whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Beloved, build yourself up. Why is that what God desires? Because he has taken Jew and Gentile, put them into one body. He has made this one body a building, a visible presence of himself, a holy temple, one in which he is honored and glorified. How? Through his Spirit, in and through every part of the body, every member of the body, every part of the building, of the temple, functioning as it is to function. Look at chapter 4 of Ephesians. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. We've been called to a conduct with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance to one another in love, agape, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God has called us. This is a high calling. How is this calling, this high, heavenly, holy calling, fleshed out? Humbly. High calling. Humble. Evidence of it. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Do not consider it robbery to be equal to God. But he set aside that outward manifestation of his glory, and took on the form of a servant and was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. He's called us. He's called each one of us uniquely, placed us in the same body. It's a building where he resides, a body in which he wants to function. It's a temple to his praise. How is it to manifest the holiness of God, the majesty of God? Humbly, Christ-likeness, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. Beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. At verse 11. Well, I don't think I finished right there. Verse 4. There's one body. 1 Corinthians 12:12. One Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, that's spiritual baptism, being placed into the body of Christ. One God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Whom he calls to holiness, to Christ-likeness. But he also equips those whom he calls to live that way, Christ-like, humbly, serving. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, teachers, together there, pastor, teacher, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a measure, a mature man, to a measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. He has called us. He has called us his beloved to behave, have a conduct in keeping with this calling. Oh, it's a high calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a holy calling. It manifests itself in humility. Each one uniquely is placed in his body, the church. He's building up this body as a building which in which he resides, in which he is seen as we serve. As we serve in a way that honors him. Sacrifices that are acceptable, well-pleasing to him. And so, Jude, now having been moved of the Spirit to change his intent of a letter of celebration, a letter of communion around a common salvation, to a letter of challenge, contend for the faith, contrasts the beloved to the blasphemers. The beloved, behave Christ-like. Beloved, beware. The spirit of Antichrist is here, working. Beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Thank you, Lord, that you have never called us to that which cannot be realized. For you have called us by your grace. And you are conforming us to the image of your Son by your grace. Allow us to submit, to surrender to your Spirit, that we together might be building one another and thus the body, the church, up in our most precious faith, the finished work of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. To his eternal praise we pray. Amen.